Morrison in the dojo and dynamite. Dynamo Japan and ring is out of sight. All elite TNT make it feel right. New Japan All Elite, time to unite. One's named Rich, the other Ashley.
The number one pod for the whole family.
Time to fill your wrestling appetite. Now it's time to start dojo and dynamite.
Yeah, it's time for dojo and dynamite. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Ashley and Rich here with episode 86 of Dojo and Dynamite. It is Sunday, August 1st, and we are sorry that we missed you last week. We have a friend visiting from out of town, so it's been a little hectic in the household. Rich's friend group coming over, we're watching the Dynamites together, watching Impact, all the pay-per-views, so it's been cool to hang out, but it's been a little busy. And then we recently got vaccine dose number one, so threw off our recording schedule just a little bit, but we are feeling great and we are back and ready to go.
Yeah, it kind of kicked our ass a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I have a friend of mine. We haven't seen him in 8 years.
Been a while.
Yeah, so he came up. He's been staying with us for the summer, you know, or whatever is left of the summer, having a good time. It's nice to see him hanging out with our friends every weekend, doing things, which is what you want to do. You know, you haven't had anybody around, and you know, he's been living down south for a while. You know, we grew up together. We all met each other really in first grade. So, I mean, we've known each other for over 20 years. That's wild. But, you know, it's been fun, but unfortunately it's kind of thrown a wrench into our podcast recording because it's kind of been like, you know, when do we have the time? When do we not have things planned? Of course, the Dynamites have been, like, white hot.
And I'm super bummed because Fyter Fest Night 2 was fucking fantastic. And we had the rumors swirling around of Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson and CM Punk joining AEW. I was so excited to talk about Fyter Fest Night 2, and then it slipped away.
Yeah, we just could not get on a schedule for last week whatsoever. And then, of course,
Grand Slam coming up,
so we wanted to cover that. And then we had a little bit of the summer struggle we want to talk about a little bit. So it was like there was so much happening that we just couldn't find a time. So we're like, you know what? That's it. We'll cover Fire for the Fallen. We apologize. We'll go forward. We'll make sure we cover New Japan. And then we got our first shot because, look, we're going to be going All Out. We have Arthur Ashe. We don't know what the requirements are going to be. Of course, everybody, you know, you want to stop the spread. You want to, you know, get involved and just try to protect yourself and your loved ones the best you possibly can. So, you know, going back to full capacity of individuals and actually going out and integrating with society, we had to take that step to protect ourselves and others. So, kicked our ass, though.
It did.
Kind of kicked our ass.
But that's okay.
Let's hope that round two is not as bad as round one. But, we're going to talk very generally because there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of rumors going on. As much as anything else, I mean, obviously the show was great. You had Fight for the Fallen. You had the big 10-man elimination Survivor Series-style tag match. You had an enormous setup regarding Nick Gage and Jericho, which main-evented with a deathmatch-style light tubes, glass sheets. I mean, think about it. GCW invaded AEW, had a main event of a death match, which then announced, we're going to go from Nick Gage to Juventud Guerrera. Weird kind of angle we took there.
I'll say, as we've talked about before, you know, the stipulation type of stories, I'm not necessarily too fond of, but I am loving the labors of Jericho here.
It seems like an odd order. You know, like, why do you have a death match before Juventud?
I don't know, but I Jericho love Nick Gage now, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, you do. I mean, Jericho and Juventud got to tear it up, but I liked the idea. You know, you had the domino shit. I mean, look, this was done really, really well. You had an organization and structure where the story allowed for something outside the box. This is the stuff that WWE just doesn't do. WWE doesn't have the capability of being able to go outside the box, grab somebody from a different walk of life, throw them into their mainstream programming on a great story that says, look, you're going to have to walk through hell, crawl through glass to make it to All Out to face me. And in order to do that, I didn't just go get you Kane. No, I got you a legitimate deathmatch wrestler who does this for a profession outside of our organization.
And this is one of the things that I really, really enjoy about AEW, we've talked at length about how, obviously, there's only 2 hours, soon to be 3 hours with Rampage coming up, and we've got a roster full of talent, so it's hard to get everyone featured on the show, and that is still absolutely true. But what they've done with this, and introducing me to Nick Gage and GCW on a larger scale, and with the Cody TNT Championship run, bringing in Ricky Starks and whatnot, like, it's opened my eyes to wrestling outside of the mainstream, I guess you could say. It's introduced me to a bunch of new wrestlers, and I think that's really, really cool to highlight these individuals on television like this.
I like that you pretend like I didn't take you to CZW Tournament of Death in 2014 and 15.
That did happen.
I like it. You pretend that, like, oh yeah, I'm opening my eyes now. Thank you, Nick Gage. Like, you know, not me.
No, I'm not pretending, but that was a different time.
To
like,
DJ Hyde's mom's house to go watch Tournament of Death in back-to-back years.
It did happen.
And you rejected that. That, like,
it
that
was a different, like, time in my
that,
life.
That, like, slapped you in the face and was like, nah.
I was not ready. Yeah, I wasn't ready for that at the time.
You're a big WWE mark. You were all on that. Well, you were young.
But I brought you down there.
Death matches were something that, of course, being on the East Coast, of course, growing up in this area.
That's something you were more accustomed to, for sure.
Much more familiar with.
Yeah.
So CZW has always been around, of course. Nick Gage was never really a guy that I followed. You know, when I was watching CZW, it was a lot of guys like Nick Mondo. It was people, they were a little different. You know, we saw Masada wrestle. We saw that was Big Japan. It was Big Japan. Jun Kasai. Main evented, I think, against Masada in a no rope barbed wire match.
We also had a fans bring the dildo ladder match.
That was what, Lucky 13 and somebody else? It was a fans bring the dildo ladder match. That was something else. You want to go watch
it
that.
It was an
back.
Experience.
That was something else. Lucky 13 and somebody else. I don't remember who was wrestling in that match. But it was a great experience. It was fun. We drove down there. We parked in this big field. You had to pee behind a truck.
Yeah.
First time you had ever met anybody. So, you know, Ashley and I had known each other for a little over a year at this point. We had only seen each other a handful of times because you lived in Chicago. I was living in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So we had only traveled to see each other maybe 4 or 5 times. So you had come down. I flew out to Chicago. We drove across the country to go see CZW Tournament of Death. Think about that.
Yeah. I was so unwilling to go.
You know, we're in New Jersey, in case you wonder where we were. We're in New Jersey. That's where I lived, where I grew up. I live in Las Vegas going to college. I come home for the summer. I fly to Chicago, get in your Toyota Corolla 2001, 200,000 miles.
Good old snowball.
We get in your Toyota Corolla. We drive halfway across the country from Chicago back to New Jersey. You meet all my friends for the first time. We got a group of guys that were going down to CZW Tournament of Death. You've never met these people before, and you have to pee. Usual. Sit in the car for 2 hours. You have to drive from New Jersey to Delaware. Kind of a decent drive. Delaware's a lot bigger than it looks.
We drove through Delaware for what felt like forever.
We had to get down
it's
to
like
Ebenezer
Ohio.
Church Road.
Oh, my goodness.
So we get down to Delaware. You have to pee. So we open both doors in the side of the car, and we face, you know, between both doors. We said, all right, well, you know, you'll be protected. And what do? As vulgar as it sounds, you squat down lower than the car so everybody can see you anyway.
I didn't mean for that to happen.
We're trying to take the best precautions. and you just, I mean, come on.
Why? I didn't mean for that.
But I feel like that goes with the deathmatch theme, right? That's
Listen,
just the kind of grungy type of thing that it is.
Keeping that grit out there. But it's like, no, yes, we did go to those events. And like, I'm kicking myself now over that because I feel like I missed out on so much growing up. Like we talked about how I didn't watch TNA.
Right.
And it's like, you know, I missed all the good stuff.
Yeah, you talk
like,
about how you like Kaz, you like Christopher Daniels, and it's like, Ash, we've been watching these guys for 15 years.
It's all new to me right now, which is cool to experience, but it's like, if I could go back and like
watch
fully
that X Division again.
In TNA and fully indulge in CZW, I mean, listen, we'll make up for it now.
I mean, the things that TNA did well, they did poorly. So it's, you know, as good as they had it, they could not figure out the main event scene. Constant screwy finishes on pay-per-view. Made you pay for it. Terrible. But you did miss out on a lot of those guys. You didn't get a chance to watch AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian. You didn't get a chance to watch these guys. Yeah.
Generation Me.
They weren't around very long.
Jeremy Buck.
They weren't around very long.
Still, they were there.
Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah.
They were prominent.
Yeah.
LAX, they were prominent.
Yeah.
Seen a different iteration of it, Conan and now, you know, Proud and Powerful, kind of an extension of what LAX was. Mm-hmm. LAX has branched a long time, too. They used to have their own little entrance when they come out TNA, so it was cool. I mean, it was a good way of displaying what this was. It's an outside force coming into AEW. It tells the story. You have this outside the box match. This was good. This was
I loved the main event.
This
was very fun.
You can't do this better than what they did. Obviously, you brought the light tubes out there. They might have been jimmied a little bit, but that's fine. It's safety number one. The glass was surely not. But you come out here, you do this match, it sets up this big labor. Jericho's got to go through Nick Gage, who right now is probably the biggest name in deathmatch wrestling. So this was not a nobody or a who's who. This was a legitimate contender, the GCW former, Matt Cardona.
He's the king of the deathmatch until Cardona.
Matt Cardona. But the former GCW, that was a great match. Matt Cardona, I earned my respect right there on that one. I mean, Cardona is legitimate. You want to talk a little bit about Homecoming? We watched Homecoming last night because it was Saturday night. We watched the Homecoming, you know, Impact pay-per-view. And it's that kind of shit that Impact does that we could talk a little bit about it because this is, again, we're all over the board here. But you have, you know, what AEW does so well. You know, people say, oh, they're castaway WWE guys. Look. And I'm not criticizing Aiden English. I don't remember what his name was last night. Michael Hembrandt or something? Something, some name. I don't know if it's his real name. Could be. But, you know, you came into this tournament against very, very established individuals. And it was a mixed tag challenge type of thing. Now, I understand he was with Deonna Purrazzo, who was the best women's wrestler in their entire organization. But you have this mixed match challenge. This guy comes out of WWE. He's a low, low, low level talent. And he's a great wrestler, but he's a low, low, low-level talent. He comes into Impact. He's not going to make an impact, per se, right at this very second. He's going to have to kind of earn his stripes, no pun intended. And he wins this entire tournament over guys like Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green and Brian Myers.
That was my pick to win, yeah.
Right, but you're doing this in a way that's just like, this is what Impact does poorly. Instead of allowing Aiden English to grow into the new character and develop into a guy who's in demand, you just thrust them to the top, this low-level guy, thrust them to the top of the card. It's not that he can't work. He's a great wrestler. He was a very good wrestler last night. But you thrust them to the top of the card, and you wonder why people look at you and go, well, look, Aiden English was nothing on television. I understand that. But it's not like the audience is really refreshed or refreshed, that's the right word, but like fresh and familiar. You know, it's like, it's not that this Aiden English is somebody that they had to see. It's better for him to kind of grind his way back up because Cardona came out and people didn't want to necessarily see Zack Ryder. But he hasn't been Zack Ryder. He's kind of laid low. He wrestled Brian Myers. He worked a little bit in Impact. Now he's in GCW.
He tested the waters in AEW.
He's become somebody now. Over the past couple of months that I actually want to see.
Yeah.
He's kind of a draw now.
I've always liked him, but I know for you, like, yeah, now you're really intrigued to see
that's
what
exactly,
he's doing.
Because he's doing it the right way. It's not Aiden English's fault. And I keep calling him that, and I don't want to disrespect him, but it's not his fault. It's why did Impact book it like that? Because now you're just going to get the displeasure and the distaste from everybody outside of it saying, well, let's just Impact back to their old shit. And I'm saying this with AEW because it's going to transition a little bit to what's coming in the rumors in the future. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. This is huge. It's going to transition that way because AEW hasn't done that. They've taken these guys from WWE. They've given them such platforms. They've taken the right guys, given them the right opportunities where they fit in. I mean, look at guys like FTR. They've come into AEW and fit like a glove as if they were never outside of this organization.
Same with Mox. Same with Brody.
Mr. Brody Lee is an essential tool to what the Dark Order is today. Without Brody Lee, the Dark Order would be nothing.
And he made such an impact in such a small period of time.
To think that this character, this personality, was all built behind this Luke Harper, I don't speak, barely cut a promo crap on television for 8 years, it's unbelievable. He was cutting grade A promos every week. He built the Dark Order up from nothing. The personality, the idea, the character, it was great. He was an essential tool. Wasn't a WWE castaway. He was an essential tool. I never watched Ty Dillinger. I mean, he was a nobody. He was a character. He was a gimmick. He came over as Shawn Spears at a great look. Now, he struggled a little bit because the chair shot thing didn't get over well.
But he's bounced back.
But he's an essential part of the Pinnacle. Doesn't even feel like he was even Ty Dillinger.
No.
They've done a really nice job. Jericho, they've done a really nice job. Just point out examples. I know I do that a lot. I just throw names out there. I'm just pointing out examples. I mean, guys
but Mox
come out over
and
here.
Mox too.
You forget that Moxley. It's unbelievable.
I mean, he was John Moxley
but
before.
You forget that's the same goofy ass Dean Ambrose we watched.
Yeah, night
fucking
and day
riding like hot dog carts to the fucking ring. It's unbelievable to see the difference. But it's like that's the kind of stuff when you look at Impact and you go, come on, guys. Like it's just. Not saying Aiden English isn't the wrong guy. It's just it's the wrong spot for the wrong guy at the wrong moment. Let him grow a little bit. Let him build organically like Cardona's doing. People are shitting on the fact that he's the GCW World Champion. I think it's great. I think it's awesome because you know what? He went out there and took all those fucking bumps. That's all I waited for the whole match. Let's see him fucking take something. And a friend of ours was like, it'd be better if he didn't. No, he's got to take it.
He was so, red.
He got so fucking bloody.
Yeah. His shirt was just like melted to his body. Like he just blended as
like
one color.
The respect factor from the moment he started that match to the end was like, I am on the Cardona train. Let him be GCW World Champion.
I thought the match was fantastic.
Fantastic. It was great. It was absolutely fantastic. This guy right now is going to become the hottest thing on the independent market again.
Go for him.
And the thing is, what's great about it is he's taking all these bumps and he's selling like a goddamn professional wrestler. I mean, just a high level sell job.
But that's just the
training and difference what you get from WWE. But I mean, it was unbelievable. It was a great performance, Matt Cardona. It was an A+. The GCW show. I know we're all over the place, but it was an A+.
No, but hats off to both of them, Gage and Cardona. But like now, you're excited to see what's going to happen next with this championship. There's a lineup of GCW shows coming up with SummerSlam weekend, All Out weekend. They're going to be doing a New York City show the weekend of Arthur Ashe. And then for my birthday, we're going to go to Atlantic City, October 9th and 10th to see them. But like, you're intrigued to see what's to come with this title reign. And I think that's exciting.
Yeah, Cardona was absolutely the right guy. But this kind of transition to what I was talking about, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, we'll continue to roll into that. There's huge rumors.
Yeah.
AEW just booked United Center on August 20th.
Yep, that was announced by
CM
for the Fallen.
There's no way
it's gotta
around it.
It's got to be, right?
Look, I mean, Darby Allin's talking about CM Punk going to United Center. I mean, it's done. It's a done deal. Bryan Danielson's coming after that, whatever that deal is. It's the rumors. It is what it is. And I have a gripe with this as much as I have a positive on it. And of course, you have these two guys coming in here, massive, massive, massive growth. I mean, this is going to be big buku numbers.
Fork, the company as a whole, huge.
Enormous. You are the company that drags CM Punk out of the ground, essentially, to come out here in his hometown. Look, they were talking about Monday Night Raw going to Chicago, sells out immediately. Congratulations. Chicago's a hot
ticket.
That's
this Monday, right?
A hot ticket. If you want to go to All Out right now on the secondary fucking market, it's like $300. Are you kidding me? That's the real demand. And they're going to go to that Raw, and they're going to chant for CM Punk. And no longer will CM Punk ever show up on your organization. He's on the other one. They don't want that. You're not going to chant for a guy constantly in a big major city, a city that luckily I got a chance to live in, that you grew up in.
We love CM Punk in Chicago.
So it's an amazing experience to know that you're going to be watching that Monday Night Raw and go, yep, that's the guy that they have, don't you? Why don't you watch on Wednesday and you can actually watch them in the same city?
It's an interesting time with that show coming up.
But it could play a better role going forward. Maybe the CM Punk chants will leave WWE. Because the CM Punk chants, the AEW chants, they're there to just... It's because the audience doesn't know how to voice displeasure.
Did they leave for a while? I don't watch.
Well, there was no audiences.
Oh, yeah.
But those were the chants of disrespect. To say, you chanted CM Punk, you chanted AEW at the WWE shows when they were doing something that you didn't like. It was a way to kind of go back at the company for doing something you had displeasure with. Goldberg, you get CM Punk chants. You know what I'm trying to say? It's that type of correlation. But now, maybe it'll actually kill the CM Punk chant. Because he's going to be on, if legitimately the rumors and everything are true, and he's going to be on AEW, maybe now it will cut that chant down. Because the truth is, as much as I'm a rabid fan, again, from New York, right? I mean, it's a rabid, rabid fan base. Chicago is also, but it's a rabid fan base. As much as it's a rabid, rabid fan base in Chicago and in New York, it kind of is disrespectful when you're shitting on the product with a guy that has no business and wants no deal with your organization whatsoever. And so maybe now that'll kind of drop away, and the people that do want to see and the people that do want to be involved in it will watch them. Maybe it'll take away that point, and at least then WWE can kind of have some time to get their fucking characters over. Without having shows getting hijacked by that crap. And that's the one thing that AEW does really well. They don't hijack those shows.
No, I don't.
Because they respect the company.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't feel like the company is pulling a fast one on them. And, of course it's early on still. We're talking early, early, early. As things start to change as time goes on, this is part of my little thing here as we start to get into some of these shows. You know, you have CM Punk coming in. This is something I was talking about with you last night. Adam Page is out of the main event of All Out, if this is true. Okay? If this is true.
Well, yes. So, back to Fight for the Fallen briefly. 10-man elimination tag. The Elite Squad, the Super Elite, defeats the Dark Order.
What a good match.
Fantastic.
What a great, great, great match. It kind of reminded me of that match that we saw in Ring of Honor in Chicago Ridge when it was like Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, bunch of guys against...
I think that was a pay-per-view, yeah?
It was like it was supposed to be a pay-per-view, but the production was shit. They ended up only having one camera. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't get the other cameras running. Something was fucked.
I think it was October 26, 2013.
Yeah. So they ended up doing like three straight TV tapings.
That's, yes. Yep.
And so they gave us this like big 10-man elimination main event. And it was like Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, a bunch of baby faces up against Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and all that crew. And it was a great match. They went for 45 minutes, yeah. Almost an hour. Must have been the whole Ring of Honor show that was taped for TV. Elgin came back from like five down. I think he won the whole match.
I think he did, yeah.
Because I think he took the belt from Adam Cole. I don't actually remember. We used to watch a lot of Ring of Honor back then. But that reminded me of this one. You kind of had all these guys get eliminated. Adam Page has got to go in there. He's kind of, he's down 3-1. He's got the Bucks and he's got Hangman. Hangman. He's got the Bucks and he's Omega. Not Omega. I'm out of control.
Hangman is going up against the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They did a callback to the final moments of that Revolution tag team match where you had the Elite facing off against Hangman, looking like they were going to hit him with a giant super kick. So they came full circle there. But yeah, I mean, the odds were against him, and he didn't overcome them.
No, and it was a great match. They came out like the fucking Space Jam, which was hilarious. Dark Order had a terrific promo on Not All Cowboys Wear Hats. They came out. They were all dressed to the fucking nines.
Two fantastic entrances. Amazing.
This was a really great, great match. It was a great segment. It was a great match. It was a good half an hour. Really good way to start the show. I think the ratings, the quarterly breakdown, showed they didn't lose anything. They held that entire match.
And people, I believe they had the invested. Highest female demo.
Would be information
Nick Jackson.
You know. Oh, I see.
Yes.
So, which Buck wore it best?
Nick. It was his birthday, so...
Don Callis.
Oh, those short shorts?
Those short shorts? Listen. He looked like a soccer coach. What do they call them? Do they call them managers?
I don't know, but I like the short shorts.
Football for our international audience. I apologize. Don't want to be disrespectful. I don't know what they call them. I don't watch a lot of, soccer. So, you know, he had like shorts on. He had like the little zip up with like the high collared neck. He had his little like little clipboard. He had his glasses on.
Dude, he was prepared.
Tony Schiavone's like, I'm seeing too much leg right now.
he came to lead his team to victory. But yeah, that was good.
But this transitions to Adam Page loses. Dark Order doesn't get a tag team title match. Adam Page doesn't get the world title match. You then hear rumors across all of these, like, you know, dirt sheets that Adam Page is out of the All Out main event, that Adam Page isn't on the card at All Out.
Now, we do have to backtrack because we've talked over the past few weeks about this is a direction they could take. And I'm not disagreeing with where you're going, but, you know, we debated, do you go ride the momentum and give Hangman the match and then he wins or possibly loses, elongating the story in that sense, or does this match not happen and you continue to push it out?
Well, that's a lot of the people that we are with, our friends, they don't like the elongation.
Yeah.
They feel like it's elongation for the sake of elongation. I agreed with that. But the reason why we discussed potentially maybe going a different direction with some of these guys was because, and it's the truth, was Adam Page going to organically get over with the audience again when they started touring as quickly as maybe they needed him to get over? Because we're only about a month away from All Out.
And the answer to that question is yes.
The answer is yes. Absolutely. We talked about that a couple weeks ago already. So, I mean, this was prior to them really getting out there. So the big question now is why? Why are we not doing it? Now, you can talk about his personal life. We know, you know, hopefully healthy baby, you know. Talk about potentially maybe taking time off, being with his wife, taking some time after to be with his child and his wife. And that's a lot of respect. But the question really is this done not because of that, but more so because you don't want this magnificent major moment to be overshadowed by CM Punk, by Bryan Danielson? Because these are going to be two major events. They're going to shape and shake what AEW is. Would Hangman's title win? Let's just say it all out. Does that become second fiddle to the reality that CM Punk is going to wrestle Darby Allin? Does that kind of lose the magnitude of what it is? And then second, does Kenny Omega being a heel champion with two major baby faces coming into this organization, does that kind of make sense more with these guys to kind of let it get out of the system? You know, you get out of the audience, the fan system a little bit, you kind of let them come, you know, if it's Danielson, if it's Punk, if they fight Kenny Omega, you know, because you got these big baby faces. Because there's no way that Punk and Danielson are not going to get over. It's going to be very, very difficult for the fans not to cheer these guys. It's going to be very difficult to try to sell them as heels. Very difficult, if not impossible.
Well, especially at first, I would say.
Yeah, especially at first.
Yeah.
So does it make more sense to have a large faction of, you know, the elite, the bad elite? You know, you have Kenny Omega, you have these guys, and these guys can kind of feud with them. Does that make more sense? Maybe. It kind of does. But when you talk and you talk about this transition, Adam Page has to get there. Because the worst thing in the whole wide world, I'm a huge Adam Page supporter. He's 30 years old. He's got a decade as the face of this organization slapped on, and he's a babyface. And he could be a heel too, but he's a babyface. Are you willing to potentially lose this guy for the future of your organization because you decided that CM Punk out of the grave for 8 years is a bigger business and better business decision at 45 years old? He's not that old. He's only like 42, 43. But, you know, at this position of his career, the last dance, as he wants to coin it, is bigger than the Adam Page anointment? Because at some point, and this is the reality of all this business, at some point, some of these guys in AEW are going to leave. They're going to look at opportunity somewhere else, and they're going to go. And that's what's going to happen. It's the reality of it.
Well, again, and we're not saying that this is what is happening.
Absolutely not saying that whatsoever. And I'm not saying Adam Page is doing that. I'm saying just in general, if this is all headcanon. This is a complete speculation. This is just kind of the drive conversation. What do you guys think? if it's possible that CM Punk is the reason 8 years away from a professional wrestling match, 8 years away from a storyline, is the reason that Adam Page is not going to win the world title because plans have changed and we got this new toy to play with, are we throwing away a decade of the next babyface of the organization for a guy that's coming out here to do a Goldberg-type run?
Well, I think these also are their more long-term concerns. Adam Page not wrestling at All Out and not winning the championship, I don't think is the end of the world.
No, it's fine. It's really not the end of the world.
We already talked about how this can be elongated. It'll pull the rug out from under the fans. You get that emotional angst because that opportunity was taken from Hangman. It was taken from us. But you don't want to miss the boat. And
let me pose the second question now that you said that. I want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Let me pose the second question. Maybe he was booked to lose. And they decided, you know what? We're not going to do the match at all. We'd rather have him not have the match and have him win the next time he does it than to have him lose.
It's a possibility.
Again, it was just an idea. It was just a thought that potentially Adam Page losing would be more detrimental to him in the long run than not having the match at all. Because AEW does the best they possibly can in protecting all of these types of guys. You don't want Adam Page to lose an ounce of momentum.
No.
Would it be better in the long run, like we said, to not have a match at all?
Well, especially to your point, if you do have CM Punk that's going to be appearing, possibly Bryan Danielson at that show, like, does that also add a buffer in a way?
100%. I completely believe that it does add that buffer. I mean, you talk about the other aspects of it. Malakai Black's going to be involved. Christian Cage is going to be there. You know, CM Punk potentially there. Darby Allin's going to be there. There's enough star power.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this kind of relays that second question. What do you do going forward with these championships that haven't moved in a year?
Well, and that's what one of our friends had said was, to your point about not being too thrilled with the elongation here, is that, you know, Kenny's next contenders are probably not going to be taking the belt from him because it still looks like all roads lead to Hangman.
Yes, and it's a constant battle of guys that don't potentially deserve opportunities. Not saying that. That's not right. Don't mean it that way.
No, that wasn't, yeah.
Guys that are clearly not going to win. When Kenny Omega fights Eddie Kingston for the title, you know he's not going to win. And it's what our friend sat here and kind of talked to us today before we kicked him out so we could do our podcast was he went on a little bit of a run because he was talking, and another friend supported, they thought the same thing. And now, again, it's our brains year in, year out on what the other wrestling companies have done. But he goes, you know, goddamn, I mean, we watched how many slapped together iterations of tag teams fighting the Bucks. When was the last time that Stu Grayson and Uno had a tag team match? It's like, you know, I understand they have all this war, this back and forth. They've had these titles for a year coming at Full Gear. They've faced nobody. There were no legitimate chances outside of Kingston and Moxley, which it was the only time I believed it. Maybe I thought they should have won it for a little while, kind of turn it, just kind of twist a little bit here. Just kind of shake it up a little bit here.
Did they go up against Best Friends in this reign?
I don't believe so. Maybe they did. Maybe they did. After that parking lot brawl, maybe they did.
I thought there would, but maybe it was FTR.
But it just doesn't really make sense. They beat Proud and Powerful. It just, you're running the gamut. You're doing these matches over and over and over again with the same result. How many times could a goddamn team lose? And you can't continuously sell the same story that this guy's, they're going to come back. They're going to retool and they're going to come back, because we talked about that too. It was the same retooling, retelling of the redemption arc that AEW does so often. And people disagree with me, and that's all right. Because I understand both parts of it. I do see your line. I do see, well, you know, long championships mean dominant. It doesn't necessarily. But one-time champions, like what Ring of Honor does, all it does is show that you have a high turnover rate. You have an organization on television that is, you have long-term commitments. You don't have to worry about these guys ever getting the title back. You can give it to them 3-4 times as long as the story tells the right, you know, the direction.
Now, I will say right now, obviously, we have more questions than we do answers. Who's Kenny going to face at All Out? Who are the Bucks going to face at All Out? What's to come of Hangman? When are we going to get this culmination match?
And if I could be honest with you, from my perspective, and you can, you know, chime in here, there's a big question I want to ask. It's, you know, fan participation. I want to ask everybody at home also. Looking at what they've done, they've beaten everybody. What's left? Why do a run like this if there's nothing left on the table? What do you do it All Out? Who the hell do the Bucks face? Who? Who the hell does Kenny Omega face? Christian Cage? That's the only, I mean, and that's no offense, that's the only guy left.
I mean, regarding the Bucks, they could retool and try to get either PNP or FTR. They just had a singles match, they just had a tag team match at Fight for the Fallen. I'd like to see those two teams, FTR and PNP, go at each other at Arthur Ashe, with Proud and Powerful ultimately winning the titles there.
Proud and Powerful and FTR are the only two teams, I think, that can take it from the Bucks.
Yeah, at this point. But I trust the process. AEW, we always say this, they get us to where we need to be. But
right now we've been in this, right, like we've been in this kind of like, you know, you kind of ran this gamut here a little bit. You kind of dried the well up. People can say what they want about the Kenny Omega Bucks thing. Look, you guys, fan participation, who do you want them to face it All Out? What do you want the next steps to be? FTR definitely deserves another tag team title match. Proud and Powerful does also.
That would be FTR at All Out. Give it to them. FTR faces Proud and Powerful at Arthur Ashe. Dropped it to Proud and Powerful. That would be my fantasy booking right now.
And then again, at some point, this is the issue too, that the Bucks have had this title for so damn long, then you don't want them to get the belts back again because you don't want to see the same run. That's why these shorter title reigns when you have the tag teams like this are better.
Or throw some GOD in the mix. So you're never going to hear me say no to that. But, I mean, today is August 1st. Tomorrow is a month from when we leave for Chicago for All Out Weekend. So, I mean, we're a month away from this show almost. So we're going to see things start to shape up. We've got AEW Homecoming this week in Daly's Place.
Which is Cody versus Malakai Black. The match card is not as strong as the past couple of weeks.
On paper.
Not wrestling-wise, on paper. But Cody versus Malakai Black, big match. Obviously, they talked about Cody potentially leaving for a little while. We'll see. Malakai Black gets big match, big main event, I'm sure. Homecoming.
Jericho versus Juve Guerrera.
Yep. We'll see. We'll see.
Back to Fight for the Fallen, though. Shout out to JRJ. We had Ricky Starks' FTW Championship celebration. Hook was out there.
With a bouquet of flowers.
Did Hook wear it best this week? Taz was having the time of his life. I loved him in that segment. He just seemed to be having a blast, which is super fun.
Brian Cage is going to flounder without these guys. Brian Cage is going to struggle without these guys. He needs something. It's not engaging. Ricky's engaging.
Team Taz is engaging. Yeah.
Brian Cage is going to flounder without these guys. He needs something. He just needs something. He's falling a little flat. That's just my take on it. He's falling a little flat right now.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe the promos. This feud's falling a little flat right now. I mean, Ricky, Hook, Taz, they've all been on fire. Brian's just kind of flat. We'll see.
Yeah, no, we will see. One of the more exciting moments of the night, besides the No Rules main event, was IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship action. We had Lance Archer versus Bullet Club's Hikuleo. So, obviously, Fighter Fest Night 2, Archer defeated Moxman in the Texas Death Match, regained the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Hikuleo was heavily featured on television, keeping a close eye at ringside because he was getting to face the winner this week at Fight for the Fallen. And we had these two behemoths facing off in the ring.
I don't think you can appreciate the actual size of Hikuleo until he faced Lance Archer.
I knew that, obviously, he's huge, but then, right. Like, he's taller than Archer.
But you
Archer.
See him in New Japan, and you're like, okay, yeah, big guy. So is Archer.
Yeah.
But when they go toe-to-toe, and he's taller than Lance Archer is, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, JR was like, oh, my God. This guy is so big.
Big man.
But this was, I loved everything about this. Hikuleo is the second modern era Bullet Club member to appear in AEW after Kenta. Huge showing for him.
He's the second real Bullet Club member.
Yes. You are right.
Hikuleo looked great. Because 2 years ago we saw him, he was a little green. He's been away.
He was on his excursion.
A great match against Lance Archer. Hikuleo looked real good.
I had King Haku at ringside with him. That was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed this one. I think it was a great highlight for Hikuleo. I think he left this match looking nothing but strong.
I agree. And we'll see Lance Archer take on Tanahashi.
Yes, so Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace, makes an appearance on Dynamite, challenging the winner of the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship, which, of course, is Archer. And it looks like, that match will be happening at New Japan Resurgence. And it looks like we might be getting the Mox Man versus the Ace at All Out, because the Mox cut the scathing promo on Hiroshi Tanahashi, for seemingly no reason.
Go Ace.
I'm 1,000% here for that.
Yeah, Tanahashi on pay-per-view versus Moxley, big bucks, print it. I mean, you know, you're talking about potentially, look at this card. You're potentially talking about Darby Allin versus CM Punk, Tanahashi versus Moxley, MJF versus Jericho, one more run. These are big names.
Huge, yeah.
Potentially Christian Cage versus Kenny Omega, because there's really nobody left.
Nothing has actually been announced for All Out at this point,
nothing.
Right?
No. So, I mean, just a handful of those matches are really big tickets. I mean, just massive tickets. So, look, all the respect in the world, but I mean, this is a huge opportunity to have a massive show with a ton of eyeballs on it, a massive pay-per-view. You're building Rampage. You have United Center. You have Pittsburgh Live. You have United Center Live. You have the show prior at the Now Arena. Now it's no longer Sears Center. It's the Now Arena. Live. I mean, you're talking huge.
Huge August and huge start to September. Actually, a huge September for AEW as well.
Then you have the
Newark
show, which has got 10,000 seats sold. You got Arthur Ashe, which has got 15,000 seats sold.
If not more at this point.
I mean, you're just, this is massive.
Big, big 2 months coming up here.
Let's hope the television ratings reflect that, because this is massive.
Ratings have been really good the past
really
couple
good.
Weeks.
I'm just hoping it stays through this week. This, like I said, this card on paper is not quite the eyeball-popping card the past couple of weeks. You can't have them all. You have to give breaks. You have to kind of diversify all the time. With Rampage, we've said it before, that third hour is going to help a lot, where you can kind of have this diversification. It doesn't have to take down a card, per se, with the eyeball-popping type of names. But, I mean, again, huge match, Juventud Guerrera versus Jericho, Cody versus Malakai Black.
Yeah. And then, you know, assuming that Jericho does defeat Juve, we're going to get the fourth labor announced.
And we'll find out what that is. We're going to have Miro defending against Lee Johnson.
Yep.
Miro has been carrying the title reign on his own promos.
He's the Redeemer, and we love it. He's
fantastic.
He's kicking ass. Like you said, just on promos alone.
He is really kicking ass.
Yeah.
I love Miro.
Yeah. 100%. Fight for the Fallen, we already talked about Santana and Ortiz versus FTR a little bit. Really, really solid tag team match. Want to see more of the two of them go at it. Hope that Cash Wheeler is okay. He had a little bit of a injury scare, I think. We had Trios Action, HFO versus Christian and Jurassic Express. Thunder Rosa versus Julia Hart. Thunder Rosa is officially All Elite.
And she deserves to be.
Yes. It's about time. That was great. That was great news.
It's wild to think that your top star, Britt Baker, and your second top star, Which is Thunder Rosa. Wasn't even under your contract.
Yeah, right?
Unbelievable.
Oh, but speaking of Dr. Britt, looks like she's forming a little stable, potentially.
Yeah, but she's going to have some people coming in, or one person coming in, two people coming in, whatever it is. We'll see. That's exciting. We'll see what happens. That's next week, right?
If it's not next week, it's coming up. Yeah. She hinted at that in a backstage promo. But yeah, I mean, that's interesting to see.
Yeah, well, that'll move us on to Grand Slam.
Yeah, so really, really solid fight for the Fallen. Running through Wrestle Grand Slam really quick, we had Chase Owens winning the King of Pro Wrestling. Good night for Bullet Club. Bullet Club's cutest tag team, Taiji Ishimori and ELP, retained against Taguchi and Rocky Romero to keep the IWGP.
That match was oddly disjointed. There was something about that match where it was just kind of sloppy. I don't know if it was Taguchi. I don't know what was going on. It was like they were missing spots. Maybe it was me. I mean, you guys can, you know, tie in. I mean, I was looking forward to this match. I really like Ishimori and ELP. And they had this, like, I don't know, they just were missing their marks. It was just, I don't want to call it a botch fest. It wasn't that extreme, you know, but it was.
Something was just off.
It was off, yeah.
But they retained, so we still have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Championships in Bullet Club. I know your favorite match of the evening was Robbie Eagles versus Al Desperado. Robbie earning the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Which is really nice to see.
Robbie Eagles is so good.
New Japan does such a nice job with their titles.
Yeah.
They have these long reigns that are necessary in the top, but these guys get belts. Robbie Eagles has busted his ass. We spoke very highly of Robbie Eagles 2 years ago. He's earned a chance to be the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, and I thought this was a really, really, really good match. And we've had an opportunity now to watch El Desperado work over the past year because we missed him for the injury, the Jun Kasai injury that opened the door to Doki.
Super Juniors 2019.
Yeah, 2019, which, again, because 2020 was like a blur in terms of wrestling. So, I mean, this is great. Robbie Eagles versus El Desperado.
He had a nice run, but, yeah.
I mean, this is like five-star classic. Just go watch this match. The match was great.
Dangerous Techers defeated Tetsuya Naito and Sanada for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. And Shingo Takagi retained against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I was surprised. Obviously, they want to build Dangerous Techers as a top-level tag team because they don't have many. So they want to get these guys established. That's why they have a lot of title reigns. They've had, like, what, three or four now? So you want to get these guys established. I was a little bit surprised that Naito and Sonata dropped so soon, which was, again, good match. Dangerous Techers, as much as I used to shit on Wiggly, Zack Sabre Jr.
No, I really enjoy them as a tag team.
The Dangerous Techers are great.
Yeah.
They are very, very good. And you know how I was. But they are very good as a tag team. Sometimes people as a singles are not as engaging to me as when you put them in a team. Like Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. in a singles match. If Zack Sabre Jr. is not fighting Kota Ibushi, I'll pass. But as a tag team, as Dangerous Techers, they've had great, great matches. But I was surprised with the Sonata Naito, but I thought maybe it's because, look, well wishes to Kota Ibushi. We hope he comes back soon.
Of course.
And Tanahashi coming to America for a period of time. Okada's kind of working with Jeff Cobb a little bit. So, you know, with Will Ospreay being out. So maybe they need to kind of use Naito and Sonata right now. They are all hands on deck.
GOD's here right now.
Yeah, this and Jay White's an impact. I mean, this is like, New Japan is stretched really thin right now.
They are, but at the same time, it's a really, like, interesting and exciting time for them on the American front. Because as you just mentioned, Jay White is in Impact. Finn Juice is in Impact. Jay White is recruiting for the Bullet Club. Looks like Chris Bay may be joining. The Good Brothers won the Tag Team Turbulence just this past weekend. Resurgence is coming up. We're going to have Mox and a mystery partner versus the Good Brothers. Jay versus David Finlay for the Never Openweight Championship, and then Archer versus Tanahashi for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship. There's a lot of New Japan on American television right now.
Well, I think that's because New Japan's trying to capitalize on the AEW exposure, Impact exposure, which is a very smart move.
Absolutely.
But I really do believe that there's just so many restrictions right now in Japan that it's very difficult for them to run major shows. So if they can start to kind of, and this is not to say export, but if they can start to export some of their programming to America.
Well, you have New Japan of America too. So I think using this as a way to like make a positive out of a, I don't want to say negative circumstance, but it's trying times right now. I mean, they're doing what they can to try to enhance their brand.
Well, if there was ever a time to enhance New Japan of America, this is it.
Yeah.
If there was ever a time to enhance New Japan Strong, this is it. So, you know, they're as much as they say, well, when a door closes, a window opens, or window closes, a door opens, whatever that expression is, this is it. But on their forefront, on their strong front, they're in some trouble. They're stretched thin. It's given a lot of guys opportunities to work.
Yes.
Which is good. I want to see some of these other guys get singles runs. Not runs, but, you know, Robbie Eagles is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Robbie Eagles is a tactician. I love the way he works. I really like Robbie Eagles. Now, if you get a chance for Robbie Eagles, you can work against guys like Doki. Because they're stretched so thin, you can give other guys opportunities. And I like the way that Doki works, because he kind of brings that anything can happen type of...
Oh, he's such a badass. He's super cool to watch. But
that it gives a totally different dynamic than what Robbie Eagles is, that match could be very unique.
Don't forget about Sho and Yo.
Exactly. And it's something that they're going to have a lot more opportunity to kind of sell it. The tough part here is that when you're stretched that thin, everybody's kind of got to do singles work. So the tag teams get a little beat up.
Looks like Shingo is going to be going on to face Evil next, which if there was ever a match made for me... That is it. I love those two.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of that. We haven't had much Evil. So we'll see what comes of this match. Obviously, Shingo Takagi, great champion.
Love him.
The belt's starting to grow on me a little bit. I said
the
this
appearance?
Before. Yep. Nice
I'm
belt.
Still not quite there, but nice Shingo looks good holding the gold. So, I mean, no complaints on that end. But, yeah, I do think that it's an exciting time for New Japan to see them continue to persevere.
And it gives opportunity. So yeah. We'll see how this goes. I mean, I'm excited for New Japan, what the proposition is, I guess, for them.
Yeah, Resurgence looks to be a great show. That's going to be fun. We had Elite Hunter Kaz on Impact.
He's like, I don't want to go back.
But listen.
Why am I back here?
Elite Hunter Kaz is like... One of my favorite things going on in wrestling.
But this is kind of the thing that I was going at, and it's, again, I'm going to dial all the way back to AEW here, and it's going to be the last little segment, but it's like, you know, I don't have any issue with Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy is not really hinting that this could be his last run. He could transition to a manager. What he's done with Private Party has been really great, because Private Party has been able to kind of branch out. They're starting to get their characters developed here a little bit. They're starting to, you know, they're starting to grow into that role of being a major tag team in AEW. I like this. I was watching Dark the other day, or Elevation. It was against Jungle Boy Mark Quinn. It was a good match. I like this. You have Christian Cage on his last run. You know, Bryan Danielson's always kind of teased or kind of said, you know, hey, look, I don't know how much longer I want to do this. I don't know what type of commitment I want for this. You got CM Punk, who's clearly on The Last Dance. You have to find TV time. When you sign stars like this, you have to find TV time for these guys. This is where this kind of throws it off for me. It's like you keep signing all these last leg guys, which is what WWE was doing, which is what everybody bitched about, that they were taking time away from guys. You know, look, obviously... AEW does a nice job of diversifying all of their cards. They have a lot of guys that come on, a lot of guys that come off. But, you know, you're talking about there's so much they give you. Guys like Brian Cage start to flounder a little bit. You know, what are you going to do with Scorpio Sky? You got Ethan Page. You know, he's coming off this coffin match that he lost. What you got to make sure you get him back on in relevance. You got to make sure you do something with them, but you got to give TV time. And I love Christian Cage, but you got to give TV time to Christian Cage. You're going to have to give TV time to Bryan Danielson. You're going to have to give TV time to CM Punk, because you're paying them the most money.
Well, to your point, like you said, with Matt Hardy having the HFO and also Jericho having the Inner Circle, like we talked about a little bit earlier before recording, it's ways to keep them prominent while not giving them all, while highlighting the other talent around them in the respective factions. Do you pair Punk and Bryan together? If this is... where the signings go.
That's what people have been saying.
Do they do like a Darby Sting pairing where maybe they're working like does Punk join Darby and Sting as like a little faction?
I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a young guy, older guy type of thing. It doesn't have to be that. But you can only have so many guys, as they call it, on The Last Dance. Because you got the same thing going on. You're paying them millions of dollars. Christian Cage was fine. But you have now, Christian Cage starts to become part of that. I got CM Punk, I got Danielson, I got Matt Hardy. It's like these guys are on The Last Dance. And you all have to get TV time. You all have to take spaces away from the guys that are on AEW. You know, Jericho's on his last dance, but Jericho's got an entire faction behind him. It's, you know, where that's why Elite Hunter Kaz is on Impact. There's no space for him. You need the third hour.
Yeah,
you need
Rampage
that third hour,
and
Omega
good.
Was talking about how that was going to have, it's going to feature women. Of course, the women are going to have another segment, of course. But you have all these women that aren't getting a chance. You have all these men that aren't getting a chance because you're hiring all these guys in their last legs. And I don't, again, it's not to be unexcited. It's not to be critical. I don't want to be the negative guy. I'm excited. I'm excited to be in the building, and I really hope that everybody who bought tickets to the United Center gets a chance to see CM Punk. I'm excited to be there. I'm excited for Bryan Danielson to be at Arthur Ashe, if that's the rumor. Of course, these are the rumors. I'm excited to be there.
Oh, we're buzzing about, like, we buzzing. Were excited for these shows to begin with, but, like, now with these rumors in the air, it's
Punk.
Like, oh, my God.
Bryan Danielson, it's exciting.
I'm just going
massive.
To cry it all out.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just going to sob in the stands.
But when you look at the long term of it, these guys are not signing one-year contracts. These guys are going to be there to raise these ratings up, but you're taking away. Because you have so much, AEW has so much need. Because they just don't have enough time.
Yeah, it's about finding that consistent balance.
Let's hope this extra hour helps. They might need 2 hours.
Anything's possible, though,
There
right?
was a period of time where they needed to have bigger stars, right when they started, because it was going to be hard to build a lot of these guys. And a lot of these guys, no offense, kind of fizzled out, didn't work. Not fizzled out, but didn't work at the moment, so they had to go get more established stars to do it. And these established stars, Matt Hardy's come in, he's run his family office, he's got guys left and right, he's got Blade, he's got, Angelico, he's got Private Party. These guys have done an outstanding job of becoming relevant. Matt Hardy's helped them. That's ideal. You have a plethora of veterans. You know, Sting has done wonders with Darby Allin.
No, it's a really nice blend on the roster of experience and talent. I mean, they're stacked.
Stacked. And then you have Christian Cage kind of doing his own thing, which is cool. You have a guy who came in here and said, look, I'm going to outwork you. I'm not going to be a part-timer. I'm going to go out there and give you 20-minute matches. I'm going to be on every show. I don't need a faction. That's cool. I'm down with that. But again, these guys do have to take a little bit of time away. But that's all right. We had enough time. But then you start to look at the women's division and you think, well, CM Punk's going to need a 20-minute segment. Bryan Danielson's going to need a 20-minute segment. 20 minutes is generous. They need 10-minute segments. It's taken from somebody else. In order to give, you got to take.
But, this could be a way to go back to Dynamite, like within the first few months where... You don't see Jon Moxley every week. You don't see the Young Bucks every week. As a way to diversify and keep the fans wanting more. Like, remember those feelings at the very beginning where you didn't get everyone every single week because...
Now, let me ask you a question. That's a great idea, Ash. That's a terrific, piece because you're right. Your anticipation of these guys.
And now you've got so much star power and so much talent that you can afford to do that.
Yeah, and you can keep the shows really stacked because you have all this talent.
We talked about you can't hit a home run all the time, but you can, maybe.
But now maybe you can hit a home run all the time. You're 100% right. But let me ask you a question. Miro hasn't been on television in 4 weeks cutting promos. Why? Because there's no time for him. Everybody else needs time. There's no time for the TNT champion. Because, obviously, the Elite and Hangman have had a huge feud, but, these guys are getting 30 minutes a night. Miro needs television time. There's not enough space.
But I think the issue is, we just need more time.
More time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying 3-hour show, but two-hour shows wouldn't be killer.
Yeah.
But the second part of this, and this is just going to come from me, looking at this from a business perspective, now, is it... Think about spending millions of dollars on these guys. like Miro, for example. Miro was a big contract. Miro has always been the guy that flagged this to me. And I love Miro. I think he's been so entertaining. Miro barely works. And again, man, what a sweet gig that must be. And I'm not trying to be negative. It's just, imagine paying this guy millions of dollars and he's had like, what, 8 matches? Like, that's wild. That's the part where you start to think, like, these guys, you got to get your money's worth out of some of these people, too. You need time and you need money. And AEW just keeps seeming to, like, I'm not saying they have a lot of money, but they keep spending it and they don't have enough time to use it all. At some point, the acquisition phase has to pass, right? Like, we're in the acquisition phase. We're starting to get to the end of the acquisition phase. I feel like this is the end. I feel like Punk and Bryan are the end.
And this is, we're approaching...
maybe Bray Wyatt now, Jesus Christ.
We're approaching year 3. I mean, AEW is still so young.
So young.
That I think we forget that sometimes. Where,
but you forget, I mean, you look at this roster of the space that you have to give, and then you look at the guys that have to develop. And obviously you have Dark and you have Elevation. I understand the concepts of those, and I'm there for it. I'm there for it. I get the concepts of those. The problem is the perception of Elevation and Dark amongst the generalized audience is that it's crap. We sit here with a bunch of friends and watch AEW every week. I ask, do you watch Elevation or Dark? No, it's crap. People who watch AEW, I mean, all the people that, you know, JRJ is one of the people, very high supporter of Elevation and Dark. I've watched it.
I enjoy Elevation.
Elevation I enjoy more than Dark. But, you know, you kind of have this going on. And they had some stuff going on. We talked about they had Big Swole versus Diamante was kind of a feud we saw going on
in
Dark.
Yeah, that was cool.
Right, but there's not enough eyeballs on the product. And you have the perception of the casual audience saying, well, it's crap. So that's got to change.
Well, it's not, I don't want to say necessarily that it's crap, but for me personally...
It's not crap.
For me...
Not at all.
No,
not
no,
by
no,
any
it's,
means.
It's
not
crap. But like for me personally, it's on YouTube. Like I have to, and it sounds so stupid, and I know I've said this before. It's on YouTube, I can watch it at any point in time. But like I have to set aside time to watch the show, whereas Dynamite is... It's... I know Dark and Elevation air at the same time every week, as does Dynamite, but for me, like, having to go on YouTube, it's a mental thing, I guess.
It's the Dark and Elevation are for wrestling fans, but it's a lot of young talents doing the job to bigger talents, a lot of young talents colliding with each other, putting on wrestling matches, not much in way of surprises or excitement, it's just wrestling on YouTube. And it's training grounds, performance grounds for the guys that will be on Dynamite in the future. That's what it is. It's kind of like the NXT in a way.
I love the concept of it. I'm not against it in any means. It's just, I have a hard time sitting down to watch it.
Because there's nothing about it that gets you excited. They're not putting on barn burners. They're not clearing out. It's like, you know, at one point there were 15 matches that were 5 minutes long. It is what it is. Just getting guys work. I get it. Again, it's what do you think the Performance Center was? A lot of people that used to like NXT or, you know, back in the day when they were just on the network or, you know, they don't like what it is on television now. So, you know, maybe you don't want it to have people who are passionate Dark and passionate Elevation fans don't want it to turn into a televised event. They like what it is. It's not for everybody, though. But we'll see. I mean, look, it's just a lot of mouths to feed on AEW now. So we'll see how that starts the transition with the extra hour. We'll see what they do. You got a lot of mouths to feed. And these titles don't move hands. So, we'll see how that kind of goes together. Titles that don't move hands because there's people who aren't worthy of winning them, I understand it. But titles that don't move hands when you have an entire roster of hungry talents, we'll see how that turns out. See what happens there. See if we get a little bit of that in the background. But nonetheless, huge 2 weeks of wrestling. We apologize again for not being here. We just had everything thrown at us, one thing after another thing after another thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have somebody here, again, like we said, they haven't visited in 8 years. So, of course, all of our friends want to spend time.
Yeah, making up for lost time.
Right. So it's every weekend, it's all day, during the week. But we get to have big parties for Dynamite, which is nice. Big Dynamite parties. But you were doing watch-alongs. Patreon members of Thomas Island, if you guys want to check that out. Again, it's something that they were doing. Thomas Island is a very intimate kind of connection to things going on back, real things going on in Bullet Club. It's not, you know, kayfabe crap. It's legitimate stuff talking about, you know, transitions, what's happening in New Japan, what's happening in America, what the feeling is amongst the wrestlers, like, you know, where they want to go, where they want to see, you know,
fan
what it feels like.
It's very, very candid, very real life shit. We have a great time.
Yeah.
Love Thomas.
Tom is a great dude.
Yes.
And Ross is a very good host.
Yes. I love
Shout
it
out to both
all
of them.
Around. But, been my favorite thing to come out of this pandemic.
Yeah, but you know, thanks for listening. It's a long podcast. Got to cover a lot. It's a lot of rumors, a lot of just me ranting, and I, you know.
That's what you do.
That's what I do. Hope you guys don't hate it.
But with that, thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Hope you're doing well, staying safe, and buckling up for this next 2 months of craziness in AEW and New Japan for that matter. We are at Dojo and Dynamite on Twitter, at Dojo and Dynamite on Instagram, dojoanddynamite@gmail.com, and we will be back later this week with another episode. Thanks, guys.